could, for some reason, get this meeting done by 8 p.m. I don't know if that's possible. Okay, I'm gonna everybody here. All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for Tuesday, October 24th, 2023. It is the time and place scheduled for our regular meeting. Before we call the meeting to order, I just, for the record, indicate that this board met in executive session at 5:30 p.m. to discuss legal and land issues, that we adjourned at approximately 6:55 p.m. So with that, I am now officially calling our meeting to order. I ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Supervisor Zamuda.
Here.
Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo.
Here.
Five presidents.
Very well. That'll take us to the next item on our agenda, which is visitor public comment. There are two visitor public comment sessions at each meeting, one now and one at the conclusion of the meeting. But anyone wishing to address the board, we ask that you come forward to the microphone stating your name, first name and last name, spelling your last name if you're particularly difficult to pronounce or spell last name. And we ask that you keep your comments to about 3 minutes, right? If you get close to the 3 minute point, you're not wrapping up, I'll gently nudge you to kind of finish up your point. We do that so that we can get to the business on the agenda, the business item on the agenda. And so I'm also duty-bound to make the announcement that although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes and to ensure all comments are captured by the recording device. Everybody needs to speak directly into the microphone. So if you come up to the podium, adjust the microphone so that the mic is fairly close to your mouth. The board can hear people at the podium, but often when folks are at the podium projecting their voices towards us, the people in the back of the room can't hear clearly. So we ask everybody to speak into the microphone, make sure it's on when you speak, and speak into the mic. I think that I often say, though, also our meeting minutes are posted to the website, the audio minutes, right? So anyone speaking at any public meeting should know that the things that you say will be out on the website and in the YouTube universe. And so I just offer that as a friendly reminder. So with that, anybody wishing to address the board at this time and place a comment into the record, please come forward.
Rich Campbell.
Just push the button.
There you go. Rich Campbell, 39 Hartford Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm here tonight to make the request that the board reviews the preliminary and final land development plan for Cocoa Tax. I think this is an example of where the community is coming together. The Hershey Trust, volunteers of the community, and other corporate sponsors that are helping to meet the needs of the people of Derry Township. It's a big project, it can't be done by one. So this is a prime example of units, the community coming together in all aspects to help the people of our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gamble. Anyone else? Okay, seeing as no one else is approaching the podium, I'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is the consent calendar. Under this item, the board can take each item separately and vote on them, or take all of the items under one motion and vote. And so I leave that to the pleasure of the board. Is there a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approves the consent calendar. Items A and B is made public in tonight's agenda.
Okay, very good. Motion is made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Are there any questions or is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is new business. The first item under new business is item A. It's the consideration of ordinance 2023-07, providing for a lease rental debt guarantee for the Derry Township Municipal Authority to undertake certain capital projects in the maximum principal amount of $4 million. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, the Derry Township Municipal Authority is preparing to secure lease rental debt through the Dauphin County DCIB program in the maximum principal amount of $4 million for the purpose of completing a capital project consisting of one, the design, planning, and construction of a new stormwater system on Ridge Road from West Caracas Avenue through the Chocolate Avenue intersection to safely convey stormwater flows away from the areas experiencing wet weather flooding and ponding in the area. Two, related design, planning, and construction, including but not limited to traffic control, excavation, concrete, and HDPE storm sewer installation, inlet installations, headwall and wall installation, and pavement restoration. They are here before you this evening seeking the township's guarantee. As you're aware, there's a Commonwealth Court case pending regarding stormwater fee litigation. As a result of that, DCIB is requiring the potential guarantee the funds that are borrowed from DTMA for this particular project. And I know there's a team here from McNeese Wallace and Lou Videlli and folks from the authority to answer any questions you might have. I'll turn it over to them to kind of explain some of the finer details with the financing, and you can go from there.
Good evening. I'm Mike Foster from the Derry Township Municipal Authority, the stormwater program manager.
I'm sorry, could you say your name again?
I'm sorry, Mike Foster. I knew it.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. I'm here to speak on behalf of the project. As you know, it's been in the works for a couple of years to fix the stormwater issues, flooding, as Mr. Crispin said, weather issues at that intersection of West Chocolate Ridge. The project grew from a smaller solution at the intersection in order to create a project that really was holistically viable with a little bit of more profound effects over time and permanently rather than moving the problem further downstream. The project expanded to a point where it's actually gotten quite large into the actual construction amount approaching $6.5 million. So we had a look for loans, both in the DCIB funding year of 2022, but we also looked at the second half of the project funding in this most recent funding period, 2023, which we applied for and successfully received, but obviously a nuance of getting our loan was to look for a guarantee because, as Mr. Christian said, with some pending litigation about the validity or the opinion of a stormwater fee versus what it's considered as a fee versus tax. Obviously, we look for a guarantee, at least the county looking for that sort of thing, which is a home viable and ultimately self-liquidating by the authority. Project specifics, if you have any questions, I know it's been around for a while, the discussion of the project, so I think it's well known as to its benefits. But if there's any other questions about regarding the specifics of it, I'd like to answer.
Any questions?
Mr. Pasek, thank you for coming and talking about this project. I think most residents will know this as the area where the silt sock is in front of First Watch. So this project, when it's done, will remove that silt sock and everything will look beautiful again.
Correct. The splashing that would occur there was the reason for that silt sock. Yeah. When the heavy rains that would fall, there would splash on the businesses and unfortunately the pedestrians as well. I know from previous meetings here that there's a lot of sensitivity with that intersection, just on pedestrian traffic, but also stormwater management, so that goes hand in hand. Keep that intersection safe and viable.
That's what our residents tell us. So I just wanted to put that kind of color on it because we all hear about
it. As pretty as the color is,
it's not going to go away.
Thank
you.
At this time, if I can introduce Erica and Lou on the specifics of the financing and the loan itself, I can pass it off to them. So thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
We'll keep this short so we can make 8:07. So as the authority looked for financing for this project, we immediately turned to the Dauphin County Infrastructure Bank. They had accessed that last year, as Mike said. So commissioners decided to do a round two of the Infrastructure Bank this year. Several other municipalities that are participating. So, again, the benefit of this is the county takes gaming revenues and uses that to subsidize the interest rate for what they borrow the funds at. So the county's financing team, we had sent out an RFP, got those bank loan proposals back a couple weeks ago. Best proposal came in at a 486. When the county provides that subsidy of 1.75%, nets out to the interest rate of 3.11. So the municipal authority will be borrowing this money substantially below market rates. The other proposals were actually over 5%. So that just gives you an idea of what the cost of funds would have been in today's market. So this is where we should really commend our commissioners for running a program that's providing infrastructure projects all around our county with a very significant subsidy. You'll see when we take a quick look at the debt service schedule that that subsidy on this $3.3 million loan approaches $700,000 of subsidy that's being provided to bring that rate down for obviously all of us that pay stormwater fees in Derry Township. So as Mike also mentioned, last year there was no need for the township guarantee. This year, because of the litigation that was referenced, we basically the bank and put the program together required the guarantee of the township. As you know, we've kind of gotten away from that over at the municipal authority for the traditional sewer-related projects. We've been issuing their debt without any township guarantees because their credit rating at the municipal authority is strong enough to do that. So this really is a one-off situation where we wouldn't expect to be coming back to the township for other guarantees of any other sewer projects. It's just because the stormwater revenues are what the pledge is to pay this loan back, and with that uncertainty, that's where we needed to have your extra backing for it. So the handout that I passed out, just so you can see the structure of the loan, the authority did decide to structure this with 20-year level payments, so we'll be paying that $3.3 million back. And if you look at page 3 on the left side, you can see the structure of the principal payment dates. And I would just draw your attention to column 9, which shows the annual subsidy coming from Dauphin County that is lowering the annual debt service payment that the municipal authority has to make. And down there at the bottom, you can see it's just under $700,000 that the county will be using to lower this net rate for the authority. Annual payments about $230,000. Obviously, that will be absorbed by stormwater revenues that the authority is collecting. So I'd be happy to answer any questions about the structure of the financing. Erica Weibel's here from Nice Wallace and Nurek to review the authorization for the guarantee that you have.
Lou, I just have a couple of questions. You said the requirement for the backing, that's a DCIB requirement, not the bank requiring that.
Basically, in order to get this
the
rate,
subsidy.
Right, in order to get this, the rate that was provided in the proposal,
yep.
By having these couple, there's another issuer that also was doing a stormwater. This was decided by the team that it would be the tightest credit package to get the lowest interest rate.
Okay. And is there a scenario where if the current court case is resolved that we could roll off as a backer of the loan, or you would refinance to I'm just curious about how it impacts the township's ability to borrow if we're on the hook backing this for.
Yeah, a couple answers to
okay,
that.
Okay, thanks.
So the first, in 5 years, the county has the ability to refund its debt. So in 5 years, assuming this court case has been resolved, I think that would be a great opportunity to reconsider the guarantee. The second thing is this will actually not count against the debt of the township. So the township is incurring lease rental debt, but we're also, which is authorized by the ordinance, also authorizing the submission of a self-liquidating debt report. What that report does is HRG, as engineers, looked at all of the receipts and revenues coming in from the stormwater system and said it's sufficient to pay off all of the debt that's secured by the stormwater. We submit that report to DCED, and they actually exclude then this debt from your debt statement. So although you're incurring the debt, it doesn't count against your borrowing capacity.
That's great. Thank you.
And that's similar to the way we treated when the township would guarantee the sewer revenue bonds of DTMA. We would do those self-liquidating certificates so it didn't impair your borrowing capacity in any way.
Thank you.
And so the authority, essentially, because they can establish their own rates for the customers, essentially, there should never be a reason where they would default on the loan, where the which would then require the township to essentially step in and pay those debt payments, because the fortunate or unfortunate reality is they can continue to raise stormwater fees. If they couldn't afford to pay the money on an annual basis, they would simply raise stormwater fees to cut to residents.
Yes, that's accurate. The loan agreement provides that they should raise rates to continue making that debt service payment. If for some reason they'd be unable to raise it, if the litigation would impair their ability to do that, then it would become the responsibility of the township under the guarantee to provide for those payments.
And the litigation, Carter's going to get mad at me for asking these questions, but the litigation would essentially impact the authority if the court ruled that the fee was really a tax, and therefore the authority was not able to impose that fee as it now exists.
Yes, that's the concern, is that if the Pennsylvania Supreme Court would rule to essentially invalidate the ability of the authority to levy that fee and say it's a tax, and it would need to be levied in a different way, potentially by a different body, but if it's invalidated, then that would impair the authority's ability to repay this.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have any questions?
I can provide a brief overview of the ordinance that's in front of you, if that would be helpful. Keep it short. So as Lou noted in his remarks last evening, the authority did authorize the issuance of the guaranteed revenue note in the maximum amount of $4 million. That note will be purchased by the county pursuant to the infrastructure bank program, and then the authority will use those proceeds to finance the improvement to Ridge Road. The ordinance that's in front of you this evening authorizes the township to guarantee that note, and also authorizes the township to submit and prepare that self-liquidating debt report that I noted. That report's already being prepared, and McNeese will submit that on your behalf.
That was quick.
If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions? Is there anything else from any of you, Mike?
I just want to, since Eric has spoken, I just want to thank you for working with this. As I mentioned, this project grew over the past couple of years from basically doubled, really, from what we maybe originally wanted to do. Without this cooperation, with the way interest rates are, we'd be paying a lot more for this financing. Eric mentioned it is rate related, and that will be that much more than the universal benefit of change. So I certainly appreciate the cooperation.
Thank you, Mike. All right, you guys may sit. Is there a motion?
I move that the Board of Supervisors approve Ordinance Number 2023-07, providing a lease rental debt guarantee for the DTMA to undertake certain capital projects in the maximum principal amount of $4 million.
All right, motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any additional questions or any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is B. It's the request from the Hershey New Year's Eve Celebration Committee to hold the New Year's Eve celebration in the square of Hershey on December 31st, 2023. And I'll turn it over to Lieutenant Dunlap.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the board. This request is basically the same scope that has been approved for a number of years now. The main state roadway affected by the event is State Route 422 from Homestead Road to Hockersville Road. It will also affect 743 from Hershey Park Drive to State Route 322. However, the size and magnitude of the event will involve other state roadways such as 322, State Route 39, for detour route. If the board approves the event, PennDOT will be contacted for permit and approval. This event should last approximately 16 hours, beginning at 10 a.m. till approximately 3 a.m. on the 1st. This includes the stage setup time, start time for detouring, and the time for cleanup at the end of the event. Start time for the event itself is approximately 8 p.m.
All right. Thank you. Do you have any questions on this item? If not, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. That the request to hold a New Year's Eve celebration in the Square of Hershey on December 31st, 2023, along with the associated road closings, be hereby approved.
All right, motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zavuda. Any further questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. The next item is item C. It's the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Hershey Hills Preserve and Estates. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan proposes the subdivision of land and construction of 7 single-family detached dwellings. The land that's proposed for development is located on the south side of Stouffer's Church Road, approximately 1,200 feet east of Stouffer's Church, Felding Mill Road intersection. The property is traversed by the Dauphin County, Ludman County line, with a portion of the property being located in South Londonderry Township, Ludman County. The tract contains 37.05 acres of land. The property contains fields, a pond, a stream, steep slopes, and wetlands. The lands in Derry Township are located within the Conservation Zoning District, and the lands in South Londonderry Township are located in the Agricultural Zoning District. All lots will be served by private wells and on-lot sanitary sewer facility. In order for this development to be developed as proposed, approval of conditional use for a cluster development was necessary. That's why this plan may feel familiar. The board did grant that approval on August 10th of 2021 with a series of conditions. Also, the board did extend the time that they had to meet those conditions until August 31st, 2022. The property is also subject to relief from the zoning hearing board that they gained under case number 2021-15 and 2023-09, and that was to allow the seventh dwelling unit to access the private road. That was discussed during your condition of use hearings as well. There's waivers being requested from the subdivision and land development ordinance. The first waiver was regarding plan sheet size. That waiver was withdrawn, so no actions necessary. There's a waiver regarding plan scale to allow the sheet that I have projected now at a scale of 1 inch equals 120 feet instead of the required 1 inch equals 50. I'm sorry, 80 feet instead of 150. Planning Commission staff recommended that waiver be granted. There's waivers regarding street widening for Stouffer's Church Road. The Planning Commission and staff recommended that waiver be granted. Waiver for providing curbs on adjacent streets. And from providing lighting along the common driveway, both of those waivers were recommended by the Planning Commission and staff. There's a waiver for providing sidewalk along the budding streets. The Planning Commission and staff recommended that the waiver be granted, subject to the applicant paying the fee in lieu of sidewalk installation, which that fee is $35,131.25. To be put towards sidewalks elsewhere in the township. And finally, a waiver regarding providing a CD for the digital file. As CDs are becoming more difficult to make, they're proposing to provide it on a USB. I'm recommending approval of the plat conditioned upon the items in my staff comments being addressed to those items 1 through 21. I'm also recommending that waivers be granted as outlined under items 2 through 7 in the explanation section of this agenda.
All right, Mr. Emmerich, I see Mr. Getz at the podium.
Good evening. Dave Getz, I'm here along with Dave Dice from Integrated. We're happy to answer any questions you have. I think Chuck summarized things pretty well. I would just add that there's a homeowners association declaration. I prepared that review with your solicitor and came up with a version that we both like, and we're happy to agree to the conditions that Mr. Eric outlined.
Yeah, the only item with the conservation easement, I still haven't determined that we
finalize whether or not that's just going to be a provision in the declaration or there'll be a separate extent conservation easement associated with that.
It's in the declaration. You had said that you thought that there might be some interest of the board of having it as a separate document. My thought is it's in one place, and if you record it a second place, and if you don't have the wording exactly right, then you create ambiguities in what it says. And that's why I thought it best to put it in one document that the authorities won't get.
We can, I don't know if the board has any comments or concerns with that, but maybe you and I can revisit it. It's just conservation easements are usually something separate and distinct, but if the board doesn't feel strongly about it, you and I can talk offline and see if it just might be tying up adding some more specifics in the declaration. I always prefer it to be separate and distinct because it's not part of your declaration that that's the HOA. Really, it's a conservation easement on a piece of property.
Well, Matt, we have to talk about it offline.
We can talk offline.
I have just one question. Chuck, all those conditions that were required related to the approval back on August 10th, 2021, they're all still in effect, correct?
Yes.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Yes, go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Gatz.
Hi.
Sidewalks. So the fee in lieu of, and maybe this is a better question for Chuck, but the fee in lieu of the sidewalk installation, those fees can be used anywhere in the township since this, looking through this, this is too rural of an area.
That's given the way we accept them, yes.
And well, just for a question, will those sidewalks inside the development or no?
No. This is it's a private street. There really won't be anybody driving on it or except for the seven owners or someone's lost.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Then we can entertain a motion. Yeah, I'll go ahead and make the motion. I should have it right here.
And just so I'm clear, the fee is specific to sidewalks. There's no fee for the road widening or the curbing, just for the sidewalks, right?
It's a fee in lieu of sidewalks.
That's correct. Our ordinance only supports fee in lieu of sidewalks and scripts fee in lieu of sidewalks.
So we're looking for two motions.
I will make the first motion that the waivers are granted from the subdivision and land development ordinances as noted under items 2 through 7 in the explanation section of this agenda item for the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Hershey Hills Preserve and Estates Plats 1373.
Right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zaluda. Any question or comment? I would just note as comment, when this project was presented to us a year ago, we asked a lot of questions about the development and how it would be built. So I would just say I support all of these, the waivers recommended in light of the fact that the rural nature of this particular project is such that the things we normally would include in the development really don't make sense here, either from practical standpoint or an aesthetic standpoint. So I just put that on the record that we had a lengthy hearing at the time that this first came up, that we questioned all these items. So with that, any other question or comment before we vote? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Now we will need a motion on the plan itself.
I will offer that motion that the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Hershey Hills Preserve and Estates, Plat 1373, is approved subject to compliance with items 1 through 21 in the department head recommendation section of this agenda item.
Right, very good. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any additional comment or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving this motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is passed unanimously. Thank you. Thanks very much. The next item is D. It's resolution number 2023-17 for an Act 537 plan revision for Hershey Hills Preserve and Estates. Mr. Everett.
So occasionally when you do developments that are relying on lot septic, you have to revise your 537 plan. That's the case here. The last time that happened in the township was when Legacy Landing was done many years ago. So this isn't something that we often see. However, the planning module requires a resolution adopted by the board, and that's what's on the agenda for this evening. The Gary Township Planning Commission at their regular meeting on October 3rd, 2023, reviewed the planning module and had no comments. I'm suggesting that the board adopts resolution number 2023-17.
Yeah. Any questions for Mr. Emmerich or Mr. Getz on this item? Hearing none, is there a motion? I'll go ahead and move that the our Board of Supervisors adopts resolution number 2023-17. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Wyckoff. Any questions or comment? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is E. It's the consideration of the fourth time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary land development and stormwater management site plan for the Hershey Square proposed outparcel development. It's plat 1353. Mr. Emmerich, Ms. Evans?
I think the board is well familiar with this project. I'm not even going to project it on the screen. You did just recently, actually on September 28th, grant an extension on this project until November 15th. Since that time, the applicant, through by way of the legal counsel, has requested a fourth extension of time until January 31st, 2024, hoping to be through the lion's share of PennDOT issues prior to then. So this is an extension of the preliminary plan, which was conditionally approved. The applicant did give us, or grant us, an extension of time to act on the final plan, but that's not an item that comes before the board. That's just the applicant providing additional time. That also is extended until January 31st, just so the board is aware. Recommending that the board extend the approval of the preliminary plan for plat 1353 until January 31st, 2024, subject to the eight items in my staff comments being addressed.
Think there's a need to add anything to that, but you're welcome.
No. In fact, everything's moving along quite well. And actually, we are looking at making a resubmission by the first of the month.
Very good. All right. So then, therefore, we can entertain a motion at this time.
I'll offer a motion that the approval of the preliminary land development and stormwater management site plan for Hershey Square proposed outparcel development plat 1353 is extended to January 31st. 2024, subject to compliance with items 1 through 8 in the department head recommendation section of this agenda item.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Are there any questions or any further discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. So
thank you.
The next item on the agenda is F. It's the preliminary land development plan for Cocoa Packs, plat 1379. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan, filed by Cocoa Packs, represents the development of an approximately 35-acre tract of land fronting on East Main Street and Route 322. The land is owned by the Hershey Trust Company and is located in the Plain Campus West Zoning District and the Active Adult Community Overlay. It's also subject to the Community Heritage Buffer along 322. The site is also bordered by the corporate boundaries between Hummelstown Borough and Derry Township. The plan proposes the construction of a one-story, 19,604-square-foot retail facility for Cocoa Packs on a 2.91-acre condominium tract, which is identified as Unit A on the plans. This plan will also create a second undeclared condominium tract, Unit B, that will contain 1.3 acres and the stormwater management facilities. Access to the site is proposed by way of a private common access driveway having a minimum width of 28 feet. The Cocoa Packs building and grounds will have multiple related facilities to serve their clients. I believe principally the use is a food market and clothing market, which is meant to support underserved children. Those two features are accompanied by a receiving, inventory, and processing area, a cafe serving visiting families and volunteers, in addition to themed sit-down meals, cooking classes, special speakers, and other activities, but that area will not be open to the general public. an education center with a computer corner and lending library, garden plots to support the cafe and educate families in gardening, and areas designated for seasonal presence, small chapel, and an event space. The proposed use is being considered small-scale retail as permitted in the Plain Campus West Zoning District, even though there will not be any fee for the services. The applicant is proposing a 5-foot sidewalk along the common driveway to accommodate foot traffic. They are also proposing a crosswalk to connect to the existing sidewalk in front of the Hilton Garden. The project will be served by public water and sewer facilities, which will require a sizable extension of both facilities. Sanitary sewer facilities will automatically discharge into High Meadow Camp Pumping Station, which I believe the board's aware is being evaluated for upgrades. Although DEP has indicated that a module waiver can be processed, as this facility is only estimated to produce 475 gallons a day. Stormwater management facilities are proposed to utilize a single stormwater basin to control all runoff. The application was accompanied by a trip generation evaluation and TIS warrant evaluation. It's noted in the evaluation that ITE does not have a land use code evaluation on which to base trip projections. So the projections used for the evaluation were derived from CocoPac's knowledge of the operation of their existing facilities. Based on that evaluation, it's anticipated that the use will generate 29 a.m. peak hour trips and 64 p.m. peak hour, both trips being weekdays. Similarly to the traffic evaluation, CocoPac also has an understanding of the operation of their facilities, and as permitted by the zoning ordinance, have provided some details to allow a reduction in the parking for this unique use. As a commercial structure solely, this would require 99 spaces. According to their evaluation, they anticipate a need for 64 spaces, but are proposing 70 in their layout. I believe the applicant's projected parking needs are credible. I understand many of their clients are arriving at the site by appointment, so they do have control over the number of visitors at any one time. And additionally, if they do have an event that draws more visitors, there's room for at least an additional 20 parking spaces in the loading area to the rear of the building, as I'm indicating on the screen. The applicant has sought some waivers and deferments from the ordinance. The first is for a plan scale waiver, and this is the one that's actually 120 feet. We're recommending that waiver be granted, both the Planning Commission and staff. They've requested three deferments, and they're all related to the roadside east of their access drive, which has guide rails, some challenging slopes, and they haven't declared yet what they're doing on the remainder of the property. So in that case, they're looking for a deferment for street right-of-way and cartway widening. They're looking for a deferment for curbs, a deferment for sidewalks. I'm sorry, I guess there's four things. And a deferment of shade trees. And in each of those cases, Planning Commission and staff are recommending that the deferments be granted, subject to the property owner agreeing to and executing a declaration of covenants to be recorded against the property that would allow the township to require the sidewalks, the street right of way widening, the street widening, and the curb at some future date. With all that said, I'm recommending approval of plat 1379, conditioned upon the 20 items noted in my staff comments. I would point out that HRG, in their review, which is one of the conditions of approval, related to stormwater, has commented due to the location of the facilities and likelihood that most traffic will be traveling through congested intersection of Hirsch Park Drive, May Street, Walton Avenue, prepare a TIS in accordance with the SALDO section 185.43. Considering the anticipated trip generation, the TIS may be limited to the PM peak hour, 3 to 6 hour, and should analyze the traffic signals at Hirsch Park Drive, May Street, Walton Avenue, and Main Street. And also another comment related to hundred traffic from HRG is regarding this crosswalk that I'm indicating on the plan. They want the applicant to ensure there's proper sight distance provided along Main Street approach for the crosswalk, particularly coming from the Hummelstown area. They want them to consider stopping sight distance for the crosswalks as well as for acute traffic at the crosswalks extending towards the vertical curb, and calculate the required sight distance on actual travel speeds along the approach of Main Street. I will say on the crosswalk, that's an element that I asked them to add to the plan so that their sidewalks would connect to existing sidewalks and get closer to the commercial center. I think if it's not a safe place for a crosswalk, then it could end up being eliminated from the plan as the evaluation is done. So I just wanted to point out those two items as well. So despite all that, we're still recommending conditional approval.
Let me first see if there are questions. Are there questions at this point based on what Mr. Emmerich has presented?
I have a question. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. I've got a question that I'm thinking about because of the prior plan that we talked about. So this plan would have sidewalk deferment, whereas the plan we were talking about earlier has the fee in lieu of. Looking through all of the details, there's lots of details in this plan about the future sidewalks. So if you could just, for my sake, maybe for everyone's sake, talk about the difference between that and how that comes about. Like, at what point will there be sidewalks? Because there's lots of detail in this plan about the sidewalks that are being deferred.
So this is, first of all, only a partial deferral. They are proposing sidewalks along the portion of their frontage that is along Main Street. Find this out here. Okay. So first of all, here we can see the sidewalk system that's on the hotel across the street. Looking at their plan, they are proposing sidewalk along this portion of the frontage. This driveway is fairly well lined up with the lower entrance to the hotel. So they will be providing sidewalk along Main Street towards Hummelstown from their facility. It's this side where they're seeking the deferment of the widening, the right-of-way, and the sidewalk. And that's principally for two reasons. One is, as you can see, there's guide rail and slope issues. But I think the other real reason is that they've not declared or don't know how that's going to tie into whatever may happen on the vacant land, and I guess in all fairness. So this, where I'm showing on the screen now, is the Cocoa Pack site. This is the entire land holdings of the property. So it's really this portion that they're seeking.
So how does that happen? Once the rest of that piece of land is developed, then the township goes back to the properties that have already been developed and said, "This is time we're going to do some sidewalks."
That could happen. That's what the agreements that we record for sidewalk deferments indicate that at some point in the future the township could require the sidewalk installation. For the Hills development, it's such a rural area where we don't ever see having sidewalk connectivity is when we seek the fee in lieu of to add sidewalk to other areas that are a little bit more densely populated or have gas.
And I also saw in here somewhere that we're waiting on word from Hummelstown Borough. That's also unique. I haven't seen that in our plans before. Are we anticipating that they would have comments on this plan?
Well, again, like with the Hills development that preceded this, it also, now in the Hills development, a portion of the property was actually in South London Area Township. So South London Area did, in essence, defer subdivision approval, but they did have some comments on the plan. Hummelstown Borough just hasn't had opportunity to review the plan yet. They got it
three and a half weeks ago.
So It went to council. Council wanted it to go to planning commission, and that just simply hasn't happened yet.
So I've once included, they go to their planning commission, do they then communicate with you if they have any issues?
Yes. I had a really good conversation with Teresa, the manager there, and she will make sure that we get whatever comments they have.
Thank you.
Sure.
Those are my questions.
Mr. Wyckoff. My question regarding deferments versus waivers was answered. Chuck, you mentioned in your report that the zoning ordinance requires 99 parking spaces. However, this plan only has 70. Is there a variance required?
No. So what our zoning ordinance allows is for unique uses, uses that aren't exactly scripted as you would consider, like this being a commercial center, it's certainly not a big lots, right? I mean, it's an off the, it's a unique use. So the parking section of the ordinance allows for unique uses. And this was done with the U-Haul property. As you may recall, the U-Haul was supposed to have like 140 parking spaces, they ended up with 19. For unique uses, if the applicant can show the zoning officer credible evidence that they're providing enough parking for their use, then the zoning officer can make the determination that for that unique use, they're meeting the terms of the ordinance. So it does not take a variance under the zoning ordinance the way it's written, just to account for the unique use. And if I don't feel like somebody's really giving me credible evidence, then they're going to appeal my determination to the zoning board on parking.
Right. If I can just add one element to that.
Can you tell me your name, sir?
I'm sorry, Mark Hackenberg, principal of RGS Associates, H-A-C-K-E-N-B-U-R-G. The roughly 20,000 square foot building, 1906, a good portion of that is receiving and distribution and repackaging. So it's not like this is a 20,000 square, 19,700 square foot commercial center that's entirely accessible and usable by folks who are coming there. There is a sort of packaging element, receiving and parceling of contributions and donations. So it's not like the entire building is being used for the broader general access by the general public. There's sort of packaging operations that's unique to the particular use that's factored into the calculations that we've shared with each other.
But there are events and other things planned for the space where perhaps more than 70 people could show up?
Well, based operationally, as we've spoken with and worked with a couple of PACs on the development of these plans, small event type uses might occur when the other spaces are closed and aren't functional. So, they've evaluated peak loads, anticipated capacity of those buildings based on their architectural size and scale. We've scrubbed this pretty hard to arrive at I'm working with staff to arrive at what those anticipated peak demands are for both use, both traffic and for parking.
And Chuck, this isn't like a deferment where if we do find that 100 spots are needed at a later time, we can request more spots once this is done based on their analysis?
So if the use changes, if somebody else comes in, then there's problems. Then they may have to extend their parking to come in there. But for Cocoa Packs, again, the things that really gave me comfort, I mentioned the additional parking that I feel can be put here in the loading, unloading area. You can see there's a lot of macadam there. But also, we have a private road that leads back to this, that if people want to park on the side of it, I'm not sure I even care. But, so if they would have an event that needed 100 vehicles there, they're not going to be parking on Main Street. They're going to be on the on private property somewhere.
Thanks.
Questions, Mr. Brown, Mr. Jimlin? Is
anybody all been answered?
Yeah. I just have a couple questions. The proposed use is being considered small scale retail. The description of the premises this feels like it's more than small-scale retail. The whole concept of receiving and packaging and, I mean, the distributing I get, that feels like it fits in there, but this feels bigger than small-scale retail. Now, some of that is based on the description, but the two features... So this is what is going to occur This is tied in also to the traffic study. You're going to have receiving, inventory, and a processing at that facility. You're going to have a cafe serving visiting families and volunteers, in addition to providing themed sit-down meals, cooking classes, special speakers, and other such activities. It says it won't be open to the public, but small scale's definition requires it to be open to the general public. It's an education center with a computer corner and a lending library and garden plots to support the cafe and to educate families in the gardening, an area designated for seasonal, I don't know what seasonal presents are, unless it's actually like presents, like people are making presents, is that what that is? I don't know what that means, seasonal presents. I'm only at 15 items. A small chapel and an event space. So this does not feel in any way, shape, or form like it's small scale retail. I feel like, I'll defer to Chuck, you're the expert on this. This is the description that I'm reading.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why, you know, sometimes as board members, you know, we're reading the information in front of us, and it's, to me, it's not jiving with the definition of small scale retail, but you can convince me of this.
And that's why I put all of that in there. In choosing a use, we choose a principal use and then decide what accessory uses might accompany it. So as far as the cafe, you know, it's not unusual to have an employee eating area. Some of the other things, like the present area, as I understand, is the Christmas presents that they collect as part of their mission. So that's really a storage area. And again, if, you know, it's going to be materials that are distributed. Although the cafe is not open to the general public, I should let somebody else answer how general the general public is that visits for food and that kind of thing. The point of the matter is that the cafe is not a restaurant.
Okay, I believe that. But there are a lot of different uses identified. And then it says in parentheses, I mean, it says, and other such activities, and then it says, in parentheses, but will not be open to the public. Does that mean all the things that are occurring in this facility, is it open to the general public? All the facilities that are, all the things that are being provided is open to the general public, or is it not? You just said that the cafe isn't open to the general public.
That's correct. You couldn't go there for lunch.
Okay, so with the small-scale retail, says a business establishment engaged in selling or distribution of goods or merchandise to the general public for personal or household consumptions and rendering services incidental to the sale of such goods. So I guess part of what I'm looking at in the description is I believe that this is a business establishment engaged in selling or distribution of goods or merchandise to the general public for personal or household consumption. I agree with that. But there are a lot of other services here that have been described. I'm not sure that are necessarily incidental to the sale of such goods.
Mr. Bridger, the purpose and intention, as I understand it, and I can certainly let some individuals from Cocoa Pack speak, but the purpose and intention of this facility is to help meet the underserved and underprivileged needs of our community. And all of those support services are intended to support their clientele, the folks, the children who need learning capacity, who need additional attention, and need a computer that they may not, a computer access they may not have at home. They're intended to provide cooking classes for people who, if they come and are able to obtain perishable, non-perishable items, they learn how to make meals for their family that will sustain them for the weekend. These are presenting opportunities to educate and provide life-sustaining skills for people who struggle in our community. And this is a meeting a community need, not necessarily being set up as a wise markets, for instance. This is about providing dignity for people who are receiving support from the community, allowing them to come in and choose shoes or clothing or food rather than just be handed what somebody thinks they need. It's about restoring their ability to function in a traditional retail type setting, to be around other folks who are of similar character and similar challenges, And as I understand it, this is my interpretation of all the conversations over the last 2 years that I've had with folks at Cocoa Pass. It's about restoring dignity and giving them life-sustaining opportunities that they might not otherwise have when they're picking things up in a church parking lot.
Chuck, what is the difference between small-scale retail and large-scale retail? Is it strictly the building size?
Yes, 20,000 square feet. As I noted in my staff comments, this building could not be more than 20,000 square feet because large-scale retail is not permitted in the zoning district.
Which is active adult.
And
active adult community overlay.
Yeah.
And also, Ken Dahl from our trust company. I hear, Chris, this seems unusual for retail, but I guess when you're evaluating this a year or so ago and work with staff, if you go into a, I'd say Kmart, but they don't exist, but if you go into the big lots, there's storage. They may have a cafe that serves food. Yeah, if you start thinking about retail, and retail isn't one, there's not a neat definition of retail anymore, but I think the ancillary uses do typically happen in many retail locations.
But Kmart would be a large-scale retail, right, Chuck?
If you had a 20,000 square foot Kmart, or 20,000, you know, a Dollar General. There's storage in those facilities.
I would just, listen, I'm not questioning the importance of the mission. My opinion is, I think the mission is, what is described in here is well beyond what I think is contemplated with small scale retail, notwithstanding the square footage. I'm not even talking about that. That's my next thing. I'm just saying there is 16 or 17 things that are described in here. Mr. Hackenberg, I suppose under your explanation, there's almost nothing that isn't related to the retail, the providing of services, food, and clothing to those less fortunate. I mean, everything, I can't think of something that's not in here, other than perhaps medical services. So I'm questioning whether or not this is the right zoning. So I'm not questioning the mission. But you're asking us to put this in we're creating exceptions, we're granting exceptions based on the zoning of a particular location. I'm pointing out, I'm a little concerned that this doesn't actually meet the zoning definition. Now my next question has to do with traffic. So you could stand up here for that. I just read out to you all the different things that were said, and we talked about this at a prior meeting, so I remember this, but it says, based on your evaluation, Cocoa Pax's evaluation of the operation of their existing facilities, you anticipate, based on your evaluation, it's anticipated that the use of this facility with all of these different purposes is going to generate 29 a.m. peak hour weekday trips and 64 p.m. peak hour weekday trips. I don't even know how that's possible based on the 16 different things that I'm not going to say you described, but that Mr. Emmerich put in his write-up. And so why is that important to me? Because no one in this room has sat through the many, many, I'll say dozens of hearings we've held this year with developers on their projects where traffic was a major consideration in that area of the township, that area on Main Street, May Street, that's tough. So you're not, I don't think you're just adding 29 p.m. a.m. peak hour weekday trips or 64. I question that number. I'm not questioning the intention or the effort, but it doesn't seem like it meets the eyeball test of how much traffic would be going through there based on all the different, when we talked the last time, we talked primarily about, families that would be coming for food and clothing, and it seemed reasonable, the estimation of the traffic based on that description. But the description in this document seems to go so far beyond what we were told. I just believe it seems like there's going to be a lot more traffic.
And Mr. I think the reason we went through the preliminary, the sketch plan was to flesh concerns like these out. I got to admit, having Christine sit down, she's going to be very, but the intent was that what concerns do you have? I mean, maybe there wasn't as much of a description, but what they do, I think was laid out during that, that process of a sketch plan to say, hey, what are we not thinking about anything during that process? So, I hear you.
The point to be very clear.
Sure.
I have a problem. I'm not opposing in opposition of the mission or what you're trying to accomplish, but I'm, as we have been doing with all developers over at least the last now 2 years, we've been asking these tough questions because what we're concerned about is after the project gets built, 2 years later, things are operating the way your client wishes them to operate, but things like traffic are out of whack, and now we're stuck because there's no easy solution to those intersections are problematic already, right? So, I mean, we're trying to be very careful about not adding more problem to the problem. So want to have a clear picture.
Sure, and if I could address a couple of things. First of all, the 29 vehicle trips is the AM peak projection. So the AM peak is not typically when this project would generate high volumes of traffic. The morning traffic is not when their customers or their clients are anticipated to be coming to their facilities. In fact, the higher peak hour traffic for their facility is actually in the middle part of the day, where they could see upwards, I think the numbers were around 87 peak trips. It tails off later in the day, but still around the 65 number, and there's been a fair amount of fleshing out of those numbers between our traffic engineer and HRG, and they've worked through a series of things, including feedback from CocoPacks to really kind of settle in on what is the right number, what are our plans represent. So the one thing I can tell you in the most recent reevaluation of those numbers is that the projections of traffic, the way CocoPacks is intending to operate this facility is that folks will schedule appointments. So they will come to the facility, but there will be some overlap. Folks may stay for an hour or two, depending on what their needs, what service support they may need. So we did adjust the traffic distribution to presume that some folks may stay longer, they don't have a defined departure time, but it's about how their volunteers can best assist folks who will come to the facility. So I can tell you we've scrubbed those numbers from what we had originally presented, but we're also still below the council's threshold for having to actually file a traffic study. So there's a reason that this particular project is cited on this particular property. Ken has always recognized through various planning studies that though it is zoned for mixed use and it has zoning capacity for commercial uses, this is the wrong place for major traffic generators, projects that have specific traffic generation. We recognize the concerns with the traffic, with the intersections in these areas. Tonight's the first I heard that there was a request for us to actually study the intersections down at 39 and down the sheets. We'll agree to look at them and look at them at the traffic engineer. I don't think we have any concerns about doing that. The issue is the project doesn't generate a volume of traffic that the ordinance requires us to do a traffic study, but we recognize that it is a concern. So doing the right thing is important to me, to Ken, to the community. We'll agree to work through those issues. But I just want you to have some sense of understanding that this particular use, if you think about mixed-use commercial and the uses that are around here, I do think this use belongs in this vicinity, in this area of the township. I recognize the traffic concern, but I can tell you 20,000 square feet of commercial real estate at the type that's permitted, if this were small-scale commercial, would generate a ton more traffic if this were a Kmart or a Walmart or another similar-sized use. It would generate way more traffic.
During the sketch plan, the reason we worked hard to find a location, work with CocoPacks, they looked at all kind of different places throughout the township, was to try to find a location. And at first, their customers are different customers. You know, this is away from the general flow of things, and really a location that, you know, they can't afford a lot that's zoned general commercial in the shopping center where the Starbucks is going to be. It just doesn't work. And you say that's not your problem. These are your community members that really can't. They can't afford the luxury that that we have. So finding a location that they could afford that had the least impact on the township. I mean, if we're staying frustrated, we are. We've worked very hard to get to this point. Brought it to you as a sketch plan for a reason, and this is kind of, you know, you're talking. I have no idea where they could find another place in this township that might work. Not your problem, not my problem necessarily. I'd love to get a lot of collaboration between them and Milton Hershey School to try to serve a need that's unserved. I just don't know where else they would go in this community.
Well, they're not limited to just this community. I mean, this is not a dairy township only.
There's a lot of them they talked about. There's a lot of reasons from a centralization standpoint.
That's fine, but I'm just saying here, this is an organization that's grown considerably over the last several years. And so it's serving municipalities, school districts all over the county. So, and I have no problem with that. I am merely pointing out, I feel a little better about what you're telling me about the traffic, because when I see it in writing in here and it says 29, didn't put this in here, Mr. Hackenberg. So it's the way it's presented to us, I want you to know that was, to me, a yellow to red flag, because I'm wondering, that might have been true. What is in this justification is not what was presented to this board a year ago when we saw the sketch plan. Some of it is, but I just identified, read out loud, 16 or 17 things in this description, most of which we had not heard before. I think it's wonderful that CocoPacks provide their services, but when I'm trying to square up what we thought was happening there to what we're being told is going to happen, and then I'm trying to square that up with whether it meets the definition of the zone that we're putting it in, the traffic is going to create an additional problem in the area. So I think I feel a little better based on your answers, and that's the point of this meeting, is so that we can get asked these kinds of questions, right? It's not to, we're not rendering a decision, we're not voting thumbs up and thumbs down to the second. Maybe we'll have a vote, I don't know, but.
I have one more question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Chuck, going back to the hypothetical that was raised just a little while ago, if a medical facility were added, would that be a change of use, or is that still considered small-scale retail?
Medical, we do look at a little bit differently. We have two different definitions for medical office. I'd be concerned. Now, here at the township, not this year, but in prior years, you know, you could come in here into this room and get your flu shot. So that's offering some medical services from our building. That's not a doctor having residency there.
Right. I'm just curious to.
So it depends on what flavor it takes.
Got it. I'm just thinking along the lines of what could happen with this property at a later time.
And let me
that
just
we're not aware of.
Further explain the open to the general public, not open to the general public. When I was looking for the principal use of this facility, the principal use is food service and clothing nowadays. When they told me that they were having a cafe, my question was, is it open to the general public? Is that our new principal use of this building? And was told, no, the cafe is for their clientele. So I understand what you're saying. Like, in one place I'm saying it's the general public, and the other it's not the general public. But it was really in trying to determine what the principal use of the building is.
Yeah, I would just say that most of the items that I mentioned are not open for the general public, right? I mean,
right,
there are
right,
a couple things that are open for the general public, and all of the other all the things that are described as incidental uses are, you know, not really open for the general public. They're open for
clients, right? So it's that you can become a client. I don't even know what the criteria is for really being becoming a client, but you can, I presume it's you become a client and then you have access to those services. So it seems to me there's conflicting information, not information, but conflict between the zoning definition and the, what's actually occurring here. But my broader concern was really traffic generation, and if you're comfortable, Chuck, with the traffic generation, I mean, I think I feel better now that Mr. Ackenberg sort of elaborated on what that number looks like throughout the day, what those numbers look like.
And so far as being comfortable with the traffic, I'm comfortable that HRG is comfortable with it.
Yeah, and that's, I was just kind of bringing, someone had said about meeting the requirements for the traffic impact study, and I believe there's some flexibility reading the agreement or the SALDO that allows the township to require a traffic impact study with some more subjective determinations. Sure. It looks like HRG's new review letter from October 17th has found that there's a like a reason or a basis to require a traffic impact study because their requirement in their latest review letter. My question, and engineers always tell me the same answer when I ask them before the traffic impact study is actually conducted, is what would be anticipated as a result? Do you foresee any suggested improvements or issues associated with that happening? I mean, with the understanding that you don't have the traffic impact study, but that's always the question. Like, what do you hear? You don't know.
I'm not a traffic engineer, and I think in this situation, it's, you know, one, the problem exists before Cobo Pass arrives there. I think we can analyze and understand whether or not there's any adverse effects on level of service. I mean, that's generally what you're looking for in traffic impact study, and then potentially how do you mitigate. I'm not sure that this...
Well, the potential is that the traffic impact study shows that there are certain improvements necessary in relation to this use. It could potentially impact, you know, the plan to an extent.
Yeah. And but I would also submit that I believe that the problem may already exist before additional traffic has even happened. And whether or not that additional traffic adds any substance to the change in function, change in level of service would be the issue that would be trying to change.
I have a question. Will the 19,000 square feet be used immediately, or is that there in case of expansion?
My understanding is that the 19,000 is what's intended to be built out, fully built out. My guess is they'll grow into that over a period of time. But
so it does allow for some growth in the programs that are offered.
Yes, that's my understanding.
Thank you.
All right,
any
other questions? Any other questions?
We're clear in terms of the dollar that 20,000 square foot is the limit for this building.
I said before. Yeah.
What is the time frame for action on the plan? Just out of curiosity.
December. You said 2 years ago.
I'm sorry.
December 5th by regulation.
So there is time in the event the board feels any more time. That's the time required for the board to act on the plan December 5th.
You didn't finish what you were saying to me. You said you're not, I asked you if you were comfortable, Chuck, with the representations about traffic. You deferred or kind of put it at Mr. Cummings' feet, so I'll turn to Mr. Cummings.
So with them looking at the PM peak hours, we think it's most likely going to lead to looking at the signal timing and that through the traffic impact. So I think we don't see there being some drastic change needed based on the traffic impact study that we're asking them to do. It's just looking at it based on the volume they have. We don't see any huge impact to it, but signal timing could be improved based on their study, though.
All right. That sounds
I mean, no problem. That's what I would just based on my management of the shopping center across the street. The timing is the signal timing is probably what they're going to come.
And that would be agreeable in the event there are signal timing
adjustments. Yeah, signal timing adjustments are not an issue.
All right, if there are no other questions by the board, then the question before us is any reason to, can we take motions now? Does the board want to make motions on this item now? Or is there any desire to follow back up with Mr. Emmerich and Mr. Cummings before we vote on it, or are you satisfied that we can go forward now?
Do you have to change the motion if that traffic is considered, or
Well, it's the traffic impact study is referenced in HRG's review letter of October 17, 2023, which is one of the conditions of any proposed motion. I would just maybe wanted to add anything that not just providing the traffic impact study, but potentially, you know, satisfying the proposed improvements and/or traffic signal adjustments that are potentially recommended as a result of that. Does that make sense? Rather than just have to hand you a traffic impact study. You know, at the time they do that, if there are certain recommendations or requirements or improvements or traffic signal adjustments, that be part of the condition.
The only other question they on the traffic impact studies, those are typically done during Pershing Park season. I don't think we'll have the luxury to do a traffic impact study during Pershing. Maybe the candlelight, you know, Christmas candlelight is good enough for that analysis.
We've had the same discussion with other developers. I think they're open year round.
Okay.
I just want to make sure. That's been our concern.
Because I know we've had that same question from other developers that have come up.
Is there no way to run a baseline or an adjustment?
Some of the busiest times of the year are happening a few weeks anyway. So, December's.
Ryan and I chatted. We're pretty sure that between the development across the road and other background development, that we'll be able to provide enough of background data for.
Thanks, Jeff.
For this, knowing that we just had Hershey Square adjust theirs for seasonal.
Oh, okay.
Did you know
where
that was last study?
Hershey Square.
Oh.
No.
Sure. All right, I'll offer the first
question. We're good to go.
Okay. I'll offer the first question. That the waivers and deferments are granted from the subdivision and land development ordinance as noted in the explanation section of this agenda item for the preliminary final land development plan for Cobago Pax, Plat 1379.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any further questions or discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. That motion passes unanimously. That will be the second motion on the plan. I'll go ahead and make a motion that the preliminary final land development plan for Coco Pax, Plat 1379, is approved, subject to compliance with items 1 through 20 in the Department head recommendations section of this agenda item. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving this motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Right. Thank you very much, Mr. Ackerman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
Thanks for the question. It's all fair. Thank you. Thanks for this.
All right, the next item on the agenda is G. It's the agreement between the Hershey Company, Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company, and the Township regarding sidewalk lights along the Park Boulevard and fencing adjustments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When Park Boulevard was relocated, the project included a wide pedestrian sidewalk, but lighting was not included in the budget for the project. Around October 22nd, 2019, Hershey Entertainment and Resorts Company agreed to pay for the design and installation of lighting so long as the lights could be turned over to the township to operate, own, and maintain. The original agreement accompanying this was ultimately approved by the board. Since that time, Entertainment and Resorts, for safety and security reasons, would like to change the Hershey Park perimeter fence to provide a more uniform appearance along Park Boulevard. Their proposal will prevent trespassing onto the Hershey property, which is in the area where I'm indicating on the plan. That's the Hershey Company's property. And will also allow them to have a gated entrance for the retained portion of the former Park Boulevard that serves this side of the park. The area shown in magenta on the attached site plan is proposed fencing on lands of the Hershey Company. So you'll see that down in this corner. And the area shown in orange represents new fencing on Christian Entertainment and Resorts Company, and that's this small segment here. And the rest of the fence shown in blue is perimeter fencing that they would like to place in the township's right of way. Since the agreement related to the lighting was never recorded, Entertainment and Resorts is proposing inclusion of terms and conditions related to the fencing in the lighting agreement. Pat Armstrong has been provided a copy of the revised agreement for review. If the board's agreeable to allow the portion of fencing as depicted on the attached plan to be located within the township's right-of-way, then it would be appropriate to have the document reviewed, revised by Pat for signatures by Chris Christman. And that completes my report on that. But as you can see, Chris Brown is at the mic.
Yeah, that's Chris, CHRS, Brown, like the color. Or downtown Chris Brown.
I remember.
Seems to show up in every possible virtual news outlet. So, happy to take any questions. And again, appreciate the partnership. Again, the lights put in, energized. Appreciate you guys staying. We've been up for 2 years. Again, we've been really to agree to. But as it wasn't, Pat and Chuck team did a great job of helping us fold in this perimeter fence potential improvement. So, I'd love to have some comments. Part of the small sense of urgency is our fence contractor does have openings this fall. We'd love to get this wrapped up by the end of the year. And Chuck's sitting on permits for the construction of the fence. Part of our seat tonight would be that the board would feel comfortable allowing Mr. Everett to release those permits if we start construction, subject to us successfully getting this executed with Mr. Christman and getting it recorded.
To be clear, I have not reviewed or provided comments on these revisions yet.
The revisions, correct.
I was holding off to make sure the board was okay with them making the adjustments to the fence within the right of way before I even looked at the agreement. But once, assuming if the board gives the green light this evening, authorizing it to move forward, I'll review and provide my comments and revisions in a timely manner, especially if you're waiting on the contractors.
Yeah, that's perfect. We appreciate that very much. And again, we can work through the details of that. It would just be a matter of Chuck feeling comfortable. The board feeling comfortable with us moving forward with our procurement. So.
Any questions for either Chuck or Mr. Brown?
I have one question.
Mr. Brown, please.
And it's purely aesthetic.
Yes.
I'm not a big chain link fan. Were there any alternative materials considered? I'm not talking about like split rail or that kind of thing.
Yeah, so because it'll be the park perimeter ultimately, we want to match the rest of our brown vinyl coated chain link with the sort of opaque slats in it. So it's not the galvanized chain link you're used to. It's more of what we put up with the Chonkatown project. So it's a little bit more. I'm not going to argue that it's the most attractive fence ever, but it's a step, not a standard chain link fence. Chuck's got it right there. So it's a brown vinyl coated chain link fence. It effectively establishes the perimeter.
So we want to plant trees around there or something too?
We certainly could look to landscape at some point in the future. I hope now for you to secure that edge. Always entertain opportunities to find beautify itself.
And let me, if I could, I'm just going to, you know, one of the reasons really for doing this is the property that the Hershey Company controls. So as you can see presently, the perimeter fence for Hershey Park comes along the Foods property and down towards the creek. And on this side, it comes along the roller coaster and down towards the creek, but there's no securing people from entering this area, going for a wade and getting into the park. So that, I think that's certainly part of the reason.
All right, so any further questions, or can we take a motion?
Are you going to plant trees or something? Are you going to cover up the fence?
I don't think we're in a position to propose those at the moment until they really kind of settle in and see how that impacts site distances. That would be the right way. That would not be our.
Let me also add to that, Rick. I did check with Tom today. Typically mowing here is like a mower blade wide up against the fence. I wanted to make sure the fence wasn't going to inhibit any mowing. So
I think trees would inhibit mowing.
Just maybe not on the roadside, maybe on the opposite side. Okay, regardless.
So part of what, it's very interesting to ask that question. I would just point of attention. Chuck asked it, why down the bottom so loud at the top? So part of it is what you can see on terrain. There's a pretty good stand of old growth trees there. In our opinion, there was no sense to clear cut trees and put fence in. So we tried to put the fence down at the bottom of the slopes, right, not noticing it so much. And certainly as things continue to develop, we always look to add more trees. You guys have a clean state of the green. So we'll work, we'll take that comment to heart. And if there's opportunity, Greg, I'll make sure that we
find it. I think the reason I'm asking is because that's like one of the main routes into the park area.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they have that nice path and the nice lights at the end. And then you have this brown fence, chain link fence. And, all right.
I will make a motion that the board authorize Christopher Christman to execute the sidewalk light and fencing agreement conditional upon final review by Grim, Bean, and Thatcher.
All right, motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion second by Mr. Samuda. Any further questions or any comment? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Okay, for your time.
Next item on the agenda is H. It's revisions to document 1 and 15 in the agreements with PennDOT and Milton Hershey School for the installation and maintenance of the improvements for the proposed Bachmanville Road roundabout deemed necessary for the Bachmanville Road roundabout project in accordance with the highway occupancy permit application numbers 270225 and 297724. Mr. Emmerich.
Sorry for the long introduction. PennDOT has asked the engineer for Milton Hershey School to have the township pass a resolution, to execute documents, and that was done on August 22nd, 2023, by resolution 2023-16. Since that time, PennDOT has asked for modifications to some of those documents. Document 15 originally had PennDOT maintaining the stormwater improvements within the right-of-way and the township maintaining the stormwater improvements outside the right-of-way. Document 1 originally had PennDOT maintaining the stormwater improvements within the right-of-way and Milton Hershey School maintaining the improvements outside the right-of-way. If you recall, we were passing that obligation on to Milton Hershey School. Since that time, PennDOT has required that all stormwater facilities be maintained by the township, which required modifications to both documents. Of course, one, that we would take on all of the stormwater responsibilities, and the second, that we would then share those with Mount Hershey School. Pat has spent a lot of time working on the revisions to these, so I'm going to just turn to him and see if he has anything he'd like to add to that.
Sure. Now, in a nutshell, document 1, as it's referenced, is the agreement between the township and Milton Hershey School. In that agreement that's already been finalized and executed, that provision, PennDOT was going to maintain the stormwater facilities within its right of way. Okay? Since that time, PennDOT has said, we're not going to maintain the stormwater facilities, the township is. Because if you remember, we're the applicant on that HOP application. So based on the way this has progressed, the PennDOT agreement between the PennDOT and Township has not been finalized yet. So that's just still the original agreement, except in that agreement now, we are responsible for not only the stormwater outside the right-of-way, but also inside of the right-of-way with our agreement with PennDOT. Now, we are then turning directly around to the Milton Hershey School, as we did previously, and it's going to be an amendment to the already executed agreement. And in that agreement, we're clarifying that Hershey School is maintaining both the stormwater facilities outside and inside the right of way. Basically, all the stormwater facilities associated with the improvements were delegated to Hershey School. PennDOT's going to look to us, but we're passing on to them. Basically, PennDOT said, we do not, it's my understanding they said, we don't want to maintain the stormwater within the right of way.
That's correct. John Oslin, POSMOLINSKI, Senior Director of Facilities at Milton Hershey School. My understanding is PennDOT and Wright Pack does not want to, statewide, does not want to maintain stormwater measures outside of the immediate roadway surface itself. So So because adjoining properties will drain water into those facilities, so as Pat Wells summarized and Chuck, that we are, in a sense, taking over the responsibility. So stormwater management is outside the right-of-way. The immediate surface. Anything except underneath the roadway, any culvert or anything, but I don't think we have that in this case. So Milton Hershey School will be maintaining those structures.
And again, as I indicated when we went through this the first time, and I have to say it, in the event Milton Hershey School defaults on the agreements and doesn't maintain it, PennDOT is going to ultimately look to the township to do it. I'm not telling you, you know, Milton Hershey's not going to maintain it. I'm just telling you ultimately PennDOT's going to look to us. Right. We're going to look to Milton Hershey, PennDOT's going to look to us.
Right. So she wants some protections there.
Correct. That's the applicant's the issue. Yes.
Questions for Mr. Emmerich or Mr. Osmolensky?
Or Mr. Armstrong.
Or Mr. Armstrong, hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. The board authorizes Christopher Abruzzo to execute document one, the First Amendment to the agreement, for the roundabout improvements at highway operating permit application between Milton Hershey and the township. And document 15, revised agreement for maintenance of roundabout and lighting improvements between the township and PennDOT. God bless you.
Strike the God bless you from the motion, I think. All right, motion made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any questions or comment? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. President. Have a good night.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is I. It's the construction modifications to the preliminary final subdivision of land development plan for Town Place Suites Hotel, Plat 13 and 28. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As discussed at the board meeting on October 10th, the applicant is proposing an alteration to the settlement plan, which involves relocating some of the parking spaces, including some of the parking lists, relocating the dumpster area, and modifying the retaining wall. At the meeting on the 10th, it decided that the applicant should draft a letter requesting the board's approval of the modification at a future meeting. Such a letter was received on October 18th and is attached to this agenda. If the board is agreeable to allowing the modifications as proposed, then it would be appropriate to take action approving the modifications as outlined in that letter.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Heinberg. If there's anything to add to that, Mr. Gatson?
I have nothing to add, no.
All right, then are there any questions from the board or any questions for either Mr. Emmerich or Mr. Gatson from the board?
It's my understanding that the board went through the proposed revisions at the last meeting.
Yes.
So you're familiar with the requested revisions?
We are, and I would also point out for the record that the neighbors next door, the people that live next door, occupy the premises next door, were at the meeting where all of this was discussed, and I personally haven't been contacted by any of those folks since that presentation, so I have no reason to believe anybody, the neighboring party is in any way objecting to these changes. I just put that on the record that they were present and did not either make comment or public comment or reach out to the board since that was presented publicly. So. I personally will take that as not necessarily their approval, but that there is no, that they are not standing in opposition to this request. Not seeking an answer from you, Mr. Getz, but I'm just standing in
for one.
Was there. So, and if anybody remembers differently, please feel free to speak up. But other than that, we can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors approves the modifications as proposed in the letter dated October 18th, 2023 from Wicks, Wanger, and Wagner, including the attachment to the letter.
Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion or any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Todd. Once again.
The next item on the agenda is J. It's the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management plan for 333 Beach Avenue, S-2023-010. Mr. Elmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the stormwater management for a dwelling, walkway, and driveway at 333 Beach Avenue. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $19,190 is to be provided. The applicants have provided the security in the form of cash and have entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee completion of improvements required by a stormwater management site plan and report. I'm recommending that the board accepts the cash financial security and enters into the agreement with the applicant.
Any questions for Chuck on this item? This is fairly perfunctory, so is there a motion?
I move that the board accepts the cash financial security in the amount of $19,190 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security between Lori Heat and Carlos Garay and the township for the stormwater management plan for 333 Beach Avenue, S-2023-10.
Okay, motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuta. Any further question or comment? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is K. It's the acceptance of financial security for the stormwater management and erosion and sediment pollution control plan for 2167 Bachmanville Road, S-2023-015. Mr. Everett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan is submitted the details to the design of stormwater management facilities for a dwelling detached garage, pool, and pool house, driveway, and sidewalk at 2167 Bachmanville Road. HRG reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the applicant's engineer and recommended that financial security in the amount of $17,690 is to be provided, which the applicants have done in the form of cash and entered into the township standard agreement to provide financial security and guarantee the completion of improvements required by a stormwater management site plan and report. I'm recommending that the board accepts the financial security and enters into the agreement with the applicant.
Questions for Chuck? If not, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors accepts cash financial security in the amount of $17,690 and enters into the agreement to provide financial security between the Robbies and the Township for stormwater management and erosion and sediment pollution control plan for 2167 Bachmanville Road, S-2023-015.
Motion made by Mrs. Hunt. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or comment? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. The last item under new business is L. It's the consideration of adoption of Resolution 2023-20, authorizing the sale and transfer of municipally owned property, specifically two motor vehicles, in accordance with the Pennsylvania Second Class Code.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding is that there was a amendment to this resolution, and that would be deleting the vehicle that it would be going to the nonprofit. So the police department decommissioned three patrol vehicles in 2023 due to the age, depreciation, and reduced functionality of public safety vehicles. October 10, 2023, the Board of Supervisors approved the advertisement for sale. One of the vehicles, a 2012 Chevrolet Tahoe SUV, bearing 197,616 miles. Vehicle was publicly listed for sale for 10 days using the Municipal website, and the highest bidder among 43 bids was Dan NGUYE of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, for a total price of $4,300. One of the sedans was previously transferred to the Public Works Department for use in transporting their landscaping staff to various locations.
So just so I'm clear, the resolution is removing item two, which would have been the 2013 Ford Interceptor sedan?
Correct.
So it's just the resolution is being proposed to be revised to only include item number one, which was the 2012 Chevrolet Tahoe. And similarly, I guess, remove the reference to the 2013 Ford Interceptor sedan in the Ford whereas clause.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions about that? If not, we can entertain a motion.
This be my night. I move that resolution number 2023-20 be adopted, awarding the sale of the 2012 Chevy Tahoe SUV to Dan Nolea of Cherry Hill, New Jersey for $4,300 and permitting the transfer of ownership at no cost of a 2013 Ford Police.
No, that's the one we're taking out.
Not even that. Fortunately,
this is not me. So just the first part. $4,300. I move that resolution number 2023-20 be adopted, awarding the sale of the 2012 Chevy Tahoe SUV to Dan Noya of Cherry Hill, New Jersey for $4,300.
Okay. Is there motions made multiple times, different ways by Mr. Wyckoff? Is there a second?
Second.
Motion second by Mr. Corrado. Any further discussion? Questions? Comments? All those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. That concludes new business. Next item is Supervisor Board of Committee Reports. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had Ms. Nutt and I had an early morning transportation ad hoc group meeting this morning, quite unusual, 2.5 hours. We initially discussed the Hershey Park traffic following the past concert season, which was deemed to be successful. And we advised the Hershey Park representative to continue the observations and mitigation efforts. On other fronts, DTMA, we found out this morning that Wood Road is now closed for at least the next week to complete the delayed culvert repair project. Ridge and Chocolate Drainage Improvement Project is still scheduled to begin first quarter of 24. The repaving of Stoverdale Road is supposed to take place in the spring of 24. And other items that we discussed were the Tri-County Action Plan for three township projects, Chocolate Avenue and traffic circles, which we previously discussed, and further traffic and pedestrian safety issues. We also discussed various grant opportunities for additional pedestrian traffic safety efforts. And we submitted mitigation efforts for the Chocolate Ridge pedestrian safety for the crosswalks. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Zavita. Mr. Corrado?
I have none. Carly, we're doing our DTMA update. Thank you.
This is not.
We had an ICDA meeting last Thursday where we approved the removal of a PPO pole to make way for the Veterans Memorial. And I also was part of the transportation group this morning. And the only thing that Mr. Smoot forgot was the most exciting thing. Our sidewalks on Walton Road are finished.
Well, that was always your part.
Is open, so that was something we identified a few years ago, and they are complete, so a little bit safer if you're walking on Walton Road.
Yes.
Excellent. Mr. Wyckoff.
I'm sure everyone's tired of hearing from me tonight, so I'll be brief. DTMA received an update on engineering and stormwater projects last night. In addition, the board discussed payroll for 2024 and beyond for budgeting purposes, and discussed the stormwater fee, which, if you recall, was implemented in 2018 at $6 per ERU. That is all I have for DTMA.
Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff. I have no board or committee report for this evening. So the next item is departmental reports. Lieutenant Demmel, do you have a police department report?
Nothing to report.
All right, thank you. Mr. Sassaman cannot be here tonight for the fire department, so we'll move to public works. Mr. Clark?
We're just collecting leaves and we're working ahead quite a bit to try and keep on top. If so, where they get heavier, hopefully we won't get as far behind.
Parks and Rec. Mr. Jackson.
Just our next community event, the Hershey Arts and Crafts Show. That's Saturday, November 4th at Hershey High School from 9 to 3. So we'll have 150 vendors at that event. We're sold out once again this year. Admission is absolutely free. Parking is free. And we'll also have some food trucks available.
Zach, did you break the record for most floats in a Halloween parade this year?
I'm pretty sure we did, yeah. And from everywhere, everyone we talked to, participation, I think that's the biggest anyone's ever seen. And then also along the route, yeah, that's the most anyone's ever seen, for sure.
Yeah, I see we have
just about.
Dangerous standard wrap next
year. We're going to have to do something, yeah.
I'd like to obviously commend Zach, you and your staff, any of the folks from Public Works, the police department. I think a lot of folks from the township and all those departments were working that night to make sure the parade was safe and enjoyed by folks. I'd like to thank Becky Swiger, who was the driver of the supervisor mobile, which housed our unusually an unacceptable small amount of candy. And I thank Rick's wife, Mrs. Luna's wife, for being the candy filler for us, for the supervisors. So just Zach, note for next year, more candy in the supervisor mobile.
Right.
And we want Becky to join us again.
Right. So close to Zach.
But thank you to everybody for a great evening. All right, so thank you, Zach. If that's it, we'll go to Mr. Cummings from HR Chief. Did you report?
Nothing to report.
Mr. Everett, you didn't cause enough trouble. Mr. Everett,
yeah, I'm thinking Carter's like, people are tired of hearing from me. I'm thinking, well, how about me? Choctoberfest was wet and cold, and there were no garbage issues. As a matter of fact, we didn't even have one garbage bag to put in the truck that Tom gave us.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
I'm sad to report that it's normally a great event. I'm looking for, permission to list the stormwater ordinance, which needs revised. It's tied into DTMA's stuff as well. To list that for consideration and possible adoption on November 28th at that meeting, as I won't be here at the meeting on the 12th. Just to let the board know, Pat and I are working on the zoning issues. I'm looking to probably have those to the Planning Commission in December, which would bring them to you in early January. The master plan, the setbacks, the whole
from the workshop series of things.
That needs to go to the Planning Commission before it comes back to the board. And I have one more item that I'm going to put off for a meeting or two because it's just not that pressing. Just so you know.
You've acquired such great wisdom over the years. Thank you, though, for that report. I appreciate it.
Are we okay on the 28th, I guess, for the stormwater?
What date would that be?
That would be my birthday.
November 28th?
Yeah.
Is that a separate hearing? Is that a hearing?
Well, it'll be inside the regular meeting. Pat's okay.
Yeah, you can advertise it for 7 o'clock. You might raise it on the agenda. Just
right.
Introduce it. And you're in with the hearing and adopt it.
Yep, I think that sounds good.
Thanks.
All right, Mr. Crispin, Township Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one item. Transportation group kind of alluded to it in their report this evening. As you may or may not be aware, there's federal funding that's still out there regarding the Safe Streets for All grant programs, as well as the RAISE program that's allowing money to flow to the states for various traffic improvement projects. We've been approached by Dauphin County to take a look at the Chocolate Avenue corridor through these grant programs. I am requesting tonight that we have a committee established from the board to sit in on those meetings and have that conversation before we come back with a formal recommendation from that group for board consideration. Like any other grant program, there'll be some matches involved. We have to kind of look at that internally and figure out whether or not that can actually happen based on our total financial picture at this point. But merely I'm just looking to see if the board's interested in establishing some representation on that working group.
Yeah, I would, so it's a chairman's prerogative, I'd like to assign people to committees to make clarity. I would ask that Mr. Wyckoff, Mr. Corrado represent the board through this initiative, this effort, and then ask that they come back and present to the rest of the board members, either an executive session if that warrants or a public meeting, their analysis and recommendation.
Very good, thank you. That's all I have tonight. Let's go Bills.
All right, this is the next. So we conclude departmental reports. It's the next visitor public comment session. Is there anyone from the public wishing to make comment? Come forward now.
Hi, Rich Campbell, 39 Hospital Road. I want to thank you guys for acting on the COVID work thing. One thing I'd like you to do, though, if you as supervisors come out and see what these volunteers are doing. And of course, you list like 17 different things, 15 of those things I could be sitting right here in this chair, talking to the people, recognizing, listening to them, educating, and then refer them to resources that will meet their needs. So this whole thing about COVID, I guess you got to start with little kids, but it's now need for the senior citizens. But I would like to invite you to come over there and spend a day and see what they do. These are retired professionals giving back, sitting down, working with the families, teaching them, or referring. And I think it would be great support to see the supervisors come out and spend a day volunteering and get a first-hand look. You know, they need a building, they need a place to call home. But what's most important is providing the services to many, even sometimes you wouldn't realize it, but your neighbor might show up there.
Well, I think that's a great comment, Mr. Campbell, and I would ask, perhaps it's you, or if there's someone else that you would recommend, reach out to Mr. Chrisman and arrange that. And so I'd have interest in seeing it. I've seen it from the periphery in the past, but I wouldn't mind seeing it. I agree with everything you've just said, and I think it would be nice to have an opportunity to kind of check out the operation and see what's going on.
And I think it would give some support to the volunteers seeing that the whole, like I said, it's a unity. We got the Hershey Trust. We got the volunteers. We got some guy up here who is right now, but back in this thing. So I think it's great to see the community coming together, working together, and identifying what our needs are in this community. Like I go down here every Wednesday, and there's people in high rise downtown that don't have a car, don't have the ability to get over there. And I go pick out what they think they need, sit down and talk with them. Some are depressed. There are many different things that it does. It doesn't just hand out bags on a weekend. It does a lot.
No, I can tell you from personal experience. I mean, I was volunteering at the Hershey Food Bank, and I felt like I learned a lot from that experience. So I do know that a lot goes on. But the board's never been extended invitations from the folks at Cocoa Pass.
I see you get one tomorrow.
So, yeah, and if you coordinate with that, I think many of us would be happy to check it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you as always.
Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to come forward? Seeing as no one else has come forward, we will now entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Zuna. Is there a second? Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.